Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
There's a ministry I greatly admire. It's called Gospel for Asia, and its founder, K.P. Yohannan, wrote this recently in an email. And he said, during the last 7 years, we've seen a 400% increase in persecution on the mission field. Not a week goes by that I don't hear of missionaries being beaten, pastors hospitalised and churches destroyed. The all-out attack on Christians in Orissa, India, in 2008 is just one example. Hundreds of men, women and children had to flee into the forest for their lives, and thousands of our believers' houses were burned to the ground. Praise the Lord that by His grace we were able to help rebuild those homes. These afflictions are no surprise. If we follow the Lord, we will face persecution. You can see that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. These two things go together. But to be honest with you, I was quite surprised to find our ministry facing an entirely new type of persecution. It was a media misinformation attack on Christian work, well planned and well funded. The purpose was to cause people to stop giving to Christian ministries and thus halt the work of God. Although we were not the only ministry targeted, we were one of the organisations sought after most because of our focus to share the love of Jesus. For the past few years, hundreds of emails, blogs, videos and websites originated from India, designed to malign and hurt the ministry of Gospel for Asia. It raised doubts in donors' minds and as a result, limit resources to the mission field. Although we never discussed this publicly until now, I've wondered if some of our friends like you might have become confused by this negative media. But what could we do? The Lord knew our hearts and it would be up to Him to defend us. So we sought Him. We prayed, we fasted, and slowly, step by step, the Lord went before us. At first, we had no idea that all the false information out there was originating from one source, or what we could do about it. Gradually, we were able to understand what was happening, and last year we learned that we could appeal to the government of India and to the High Court in Delhi to look into these cyber attacks on us, which we did. Then, during this last year, various governmental departments investigated Gospel for Asia's activity in detail to see if any of these accusations were true. I'm grateful to the Lord that what was meant for evil, God used for good. After studying us, these departments determined that we were one of the most upright groups in the country, truly improving the nation. The High Court thus issued a verdict directing networking sites to remove and stop uploading any false information about Gospel for Asia and our various ministries. In addition, the High Court also had those who posted this misinformation arrested and the material they uploaded removed. I thank God for His grace, mercy and answer to our prayers. He came to our rescue and defended us. And it goes on then, just talking about, you know, he wraps up, it was in a ministry letter actually, he wrote all this. But the main thing I wanted, the reason I raised this topic is, it's the issue of truth and lies. It is so easy in today's information age to broadcast and spread around things that are not true and lies. And the attack on Jesus, the attack on Christianity, and the attack on things that are clear and dear to the heart of God is so incredibly large these days. I was reading an article about, it was about gay marriage, and it was in the journal.ie, and there was all these comments written in afterwards, and virtually all of them were supporting it, supporting this idea that it was okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. And even in the UK Parliament last week, they voted that way. And why wouldn't you? Well, I'll just give you one reason why you wouldn't. You wouldn't because it offends God, our Creator, who made man and woman different. He made them for purpose. And the whole concept of marriage is something that God dreamt up. It was His idea that they'd be unified together. So to unify man is just like is a perversion of God's creation, as simple as that. Now, I do realize that a lot of Christians go down this avenue and fill themselves all the time. They're just fighting and fighting and fighting such issues. But what we need to do, I believe, is strip it back to the basics and understand why do we believe what we believe, and why should we believe it? Well, we believe it because if we understand who we are and the creation, how God made things, and if we want to live for God instead of jettisoning all his promises, jettisoning all his commands and all his laws. The truth is that if you reject God, you know, then who are you going to turn to when things go pear-shaped, when things go wrong? The issue of truth, the thing that really helps me understand this is truth is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. If you take away the cornerstone, the building will collapse. And if you try and build a foundation on anything apart from Jesus Christ, it is doomed and promised to fail. Now, I want to look at one other thing. It seems to be kind of changed the subject, but I'm sure these will tie in together in a minute. And this is a ministry letter from Daniel Kalenda from Christ for All Nations. Now, there's so many wonderful things the Lord is doing through that ministry. I could go on for a long time about it, but this is just a little cameo of it. And this letter came through in early December, and it says, "The nation of Benin is known as the cradle of voodoo. According to some statistics, more than 70% of the people of all different religions practice animism and ancestral worship. For thousands of years, Satan has had free reign in this nation and has inflicted terrible suffering on the people who have been ensnared by superstition and fear. But this week, the glorious light of the gospel is shining, darkness is retreating, and the kingdom of God is rising. Tonight I took authority over demonic spirits and rebuked them in the name of Jesus. All over the field, the demon-possessed began to manifest violently. They were carried out to a tent where our deliverance team will exorcise the evil spirits. We call it the snake pit, and it was full tonight. I also called out the ancient traditional curses and broke their power in the name of Jesus. And we burned the charms, fetishes, amulets, juju and voodoo idols, just like they did in Acts 19. Then, remarkable miracles took place. A woman's painful fibroid instantly vanished after tormenting her for 12 years. A woman's blind eye suddenly received sight. A woman's breast tumours vanished. Leprosy disappeared. The lame could walk, and much more. Tonight, our small team celebrated Christmas together with a meal. We are so thankful for another amazing year of harvest when literally thousands and millions of people have heard the gospel. Literally millions of people have heard the gospel through CFAN Crusades. We consider each of you a part of CFAN family." So they went on from that. They went to the Ivory Coast and various other places and again saw great moves of God happening. There is a video, if you want to look it up, in YouTube with Daniel Kalenda. It's about a woman who got healed in her eye, and she was on the crusade stand testifying in the great miracle. But then Daniel asked her, can she see with both eyes? And she said, no, one was still blind. So there in front of the people, he prayed for her remaining blind eye, and the Lord instantly healed her. It was quite dramatic to watch that on the video. And I say all this because God is moving today in the world. He's moving in the miraculous. He's moving in small ways and big ways, and he's changing people's hearts, people's lives. And yet there's a strong, hardcore body of atheist people who deny God and deny everything, and they're so vicious in their attacks. But, you know, if we walk close with Jesus, if we walk close in our relationship to God, he'll give us the peace and the wisdom on how to deal with this. Many times, the way you deal with atheists is you don't answer all their questions. You know, Jesus, remember, went silent many an occasion. And other times he waited and he had a word of knowledge, a word from heaven. I'm reminded of a day I was doing outreach myself down in Temple Bar one night, and I had a sign with the name of Jesus on it, holding it up, and a French atheist came up to me and he started telling me all sorts of what he believed and how he doubted the Bible and everything. And I just said to him, I said, do you have a pain in your chest? He went completely silent and his eyes went wide because the Lord had just given me a word of knowledge about a sickness he had. And I believe that word from heaven impacted him far greater than any argument I might have made with him or any major discussion I might have had. And I'm encouraged by that because I believe that the Lord has the wisdom and how to reach the lost. And I have to say, we have a country full of lost people who need Jesus. We've people in leadership who need Jesus. We've people in high positions who need Jesus. We've people in low positions who need Jesus. We've people in our families who need Jesus. And there is no plan B. If you know, I do believe that the heart cry of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was, you know, he said, Lord, take this cup from me. It was as if Jesus was saying, Lord, plan B, what is it? Because plan A is the cross. Is there any other way around this one? And the Father kind of said, no, there isn't. But and Jesus said, all right, I'll do it. And he went through with it. And if we had a different gospel, imagine if we had two gospels, if we had one was, well, the cross and Jesus and repent and turn to him and let his blood wash your sins and walk in the new life. And the other one was something different. Oh, we'll just come to this building and do these duties and that's how you get to heaven as well. Well, it's not like that. We don't have two gospels. We've one gospel. And there is one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. There is no back door to heaven. There's no side door to heaven. There's no window you can climb in. There's a door and there's a single door. And his name is Jesus. And for those who are listening to this podcast who have yet to put their full trust in Jesus Christ, I just want to encourage you right now. Now is the day of salvation. This may be the last time you ever hear this gospel message, or maybe it's the first time. But whatever time it is, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get down on your knees, apologize to God for your rebel life, and say, God, I'm sorry. Jesus, you died for all my sins. Forgive me. And Lord, be come into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior. Forgive my sins. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to live for you. You can pray that prayer. You can do that now and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And God bless you. And I don't mean to focus in on homosexuals or anything like that because, you know, there's many a heterosexual is going to go to hell because they didn't obey the first most important commandment. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. You know, they didn't surrender their hearts to God through Jesus Christ. And so it's not a matter of what's your persuasion one way or the other. No, it's are you following Jesus or are you not following Jesus? That's what it's about. So thank you very much for listening. I trust I'll have Dave back with me last time. We had a little, he just got a little way late tonight and couldn't join me, but that's okay. I know he'll be fighting fit next time. And we do have to pick up a theme we started about 2 weeks earlier. So God bless you all. Thank you for listening and supporting Pilgrim Talk. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.